Now, let's see. We're going to have one more performer before the mini set, a wonderful writer, because we have lots of spoken word here in addition to all the music. Please welcome Michel Boulet.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ira. Thank you, Jake. We seem to be on kind of an anti-war roll tonight. I was going to ask if your jerk song was dedicated to any politician in particular, or just oh, or just all of them in general. Former politicians, yeah, now slinging donuts. This is sort of a statement against the corruption from whence probably so many of the wars generate. But anyway, this is set, the time frame is summer of 1861, I think. My dates might not be correct. The threshold of the Civil War, Washington, D.C. The Delta of Venus. The summer heat weighed heavy on my young shoulders, a rusty anvil chafing my skin with the languishing corruption of the place. The city was a flat plain of steaming mud, stinking with tide flats and refuse, clamoring with the constant din of wagons sucking their way through ankle-deep muck. They called it a city of government. They built huge domes like white balding heads. They built blood red brick houses for fancy patricians, their grinning mouths eager to tell their stories of justice for all, their soft fingers eager to line their own deep pockets with our meager pennies. Day and night, we heard the racket of their large construction, filling our small lives with chaos. But we found our bits of justice, helping them provide for their keen appetites, for fine cravats and knickers, for fine food and drink, for fine young girls like me. The skinny street boys would rush to help them fall from their carriages, help them stumble into the murky red light of our parlors, their silk waistcoats straining over their bulging bellies. I had more than my share of attentions, being so young. The corpulent bulls liked a girl not yet grown over with womanly hair, not yet weighted down with full breasts. My oldest housemates didn't fare so well, some of them showing ribs and losing teeth. Our madam fed and dressed us according to the number of rich beeves we could lure into our house, how many coins we could till from their wealthy pockets to fill her greedy palms. I wondered when my hairless pubis would sprout its feminine garden, when my smooth young skin would grow deep, dry wrinkles. I wondered when my share of rations would dwindle to porridge and stale milk, when I would be moved to the communal back room, the bumpy mattresses lining the planked floor, the chipped basins reeking in dark corners. My friend, the queen, was also a popular item. Her skin gleamed like mahogany, and rumors flourished about strange scars illustrating the geography of her hills and valleys. But she knew the tricks of dancing with scarves like a Salome, distracting the gents, giving them one drink too many. She knew how to relieve them of their burden of mother-of-pearl cufflinks and diamond stickpins, working quietly through the symphony of drunken snores. She taught me how to sew these treasures into the hems of our petticoats, hidden from our madam's crow eyes. But then the gentry from north and south decided it was time for a war. Us Russian to prepare for the incoming hordes of soldiers filling up the city, even the older women figuring on selling their sorry bones. I knew nothing about war except that men dressed up and went out with weapons to kill one another, while others made money selling stolen goods and promises, selling one side to the other. I didn't understand their fancy words about respect and tribute. I couldn't see any honor in so much murder and mayhem. The queen said it was a good time for us to leave under cover of the turmoil abounding each day. We ripped open our hems and bought ourselves passage on a trader's wagon heading north, leaving late one night when the parlors were particularly full with ranting and bedlam, soldiers and fine gentlemen cavorting until dawn. Wheeling on our way up the northern route, we looked back over our tired shoulders at the great white domes and scaffoldings, shrinking like pillars of pale salt in the gathering light. The driver remarked, "We were leaving the great city of government and power." But I could only see the mud flats, stinking as usual. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Good job.